Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tuned in to Radio Free Readout. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I'm your host, John Jacob Schmidt. Welcome to episode 12-2. This is the second episode of 2012, and that's how we're going to label those, just for your information. This being the second episode, 12-2. Welcome all of our regular listeners, and welcome to our new listeners, all of you around the world that are listening, and across America in occupied territory. I want to welcome all of you who just recently moved, major move, and relocated to the American Readout. Great to have you with us, and it's always good news to hear people make the announcement that you have finally taken the gap. And just want to encourage those of you who are in the middle of your plans right now to move here, and keep us posted on your progress. Oh, let's see here. We are going to be covering the topic of prepper communications. And this is a primer. This is something that we will be revisiting. We're going to be having some break segments that we're putting together right now that Evelyn will be doing. And those are going to be just a little 1 minute prepper communication tips to help you as you go. And we will be adding a lot more postings to this in the near future. And speaking of communications, a couple of weeks ago, we sent out an email to everyone that's in the American Readout Network. And I want to make sure that everyone got that. So if you did not, email me, let me know, so we can make changes to your profile or update your email contact information. And so I meant to do that last week, just, assuming that everybody got it. But then I got thinking, some people may not have gotten it if you got a bad email address or something like that. So let's make sure that that is working fine. So since we have a lot to cover tonight, I want to get right into the news. Let's get that knocked out. News and commentary on issues and topics. Things that could affect you in the near future. And starting off, of course, the economy is in the spotlight right now. And many of you have already heard, those of you who haven't, Standard & Poor's just downgraded the country of France. And when that news headline first came out, it said that Standard & Poor's downgraded the credit rating of France, more countries to follow. And not even an hour later, they announced that 8 other countries got downgraded, including Austria. So things are definitely shaking up over there in the European Union. And of course, we all know that that could affect us. The downgrade robs France of its prized AAA rating, despite vows by the French government to defend its pristine standing through recent measures to cut spending and raise taxes. Sound familiar? Well, of course, we know they're going to raise taxes, and then they're going to wring their hands over all the extra money they have, and of course, they never cut spending. There's this. What's going on in the world is just insanity. Out of Washington and Reuters, speaking of insanity, President Barack Obama asked Congress on Friday for broad powers to overhaul the U.S. government and untangle what he called, that's right, you know what that sound means, this is a propaganda alert. President Obama called this an outdated bureaucratic maze that makes it hard for U.S. businesses to sell their goods abroad. Now listen to this. He said he wanted to consolidate 6 trade and business agencies into a single export body to help the United States better compete in a 21st century economy. I have a whole lot of comments on that, but I'll save that for another time. He wants to modernize a government he said had grown too complex. Now, this is coming from, I'm going to say it, this is a communist president. He espouses communism. Everything he does and everything he has done has contributed to an overgrown, complex government. Now he needs to do what any good communist leader would do, and that is consolidate power. He said the story went on to say that the move could help inoculate him against charges from Republicans hoping to unseat him in November, that he is a feckless liberal who has presided over one of the largest expansions of the U.S. government in history. That's a true statement. Speaking of government getting more complex and bigger, Prison Planet and several other reporting agencies are putting out the story that the Department of Homeland Security is set to increase its deployment of X-ray scanners already in use on highways and at U.S. border crossings, despite the warnings from innumerable health authorities that the devices can cause cancer, despite airports moving away from dangerous naked body scanners that fire radiation into the body, which damage live tissue, rearranging chromosomes and raising the risk of cancer, the DHS, in all of its wisdom, is expanding the use of its X-ray scanning technology at border checkpoints. So I think we can see that coming to a way station near you. Now, Reuters is reporting that a U.S. judge on Friday, in a victory for the Obama administration, upheld new federal rules requiring gun dealers in four states bordering Mexico to report the sales of multiple semi-automatic rifles, despite a challenge by the gun industry. Now, if you don't remember, the BATF, or BATFE, ordered more than 8,000 gun dealers in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California to report the sale within 5 business days of 2 or more semi-automatic rifles to the same person, including even a .22 caliber firearm that has a detachable magazine. And of course, what the government's doing is yelling, squirrel. So you'll look one way while they are trying to cover up their debacle, their own gun running debacle that really did result in people dying, because the BATF allowed firearms to fall into the hands of cartels. And of course, that thing has just been a train wreck ever since. Out of Stanford, California, CNET reported that President Obama is planning to hand the U.S. Commerce Department authority over a forthcoming cybersecurity effort to create an Internet ID for Americans. You heard that right. President Obama is calling for an Internet ID for Americans. It's the absolute perfect spot in the U.S. government to centralize efforts toward creating an identity ecosystem. I just love these new age buzzwords. Identity ecosystem for the Internet. And that, of course, that's a statement from the White House cybersecurity coordinator, Howard Schmidt, no relation. That news, first reported by CNET, effectively pushes the department to the forefront of the issue, beating out other potential candidates, including the National Security Agency and the Department of Homeland Security. Well, that is until, of course, they consolidate power again, and pretty soon everything will fall under Homeland Security. The move is also likely to please privacy and civil liberties groups, not that have raised concerns in the past over the dual roles of police and intelligence agencies. The announcement came at an event today at the Standard Institute for Economic Policy Research, where U.S. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke and Schmidt spoke. So what they're saying is this isn't a national ID card. We're not talking about a government-controlled system. What we're talking about is enhancing online security and privacy, and reducing and perhaps even eliminating the need to memorize a dozen passwords through creation and the use of more trusted digital identities. So the government needs you to have an Internet ID to be able to do anything on the Internet. because they just don't want you to have to remember all those different passwords. So they're looking out for you again. Okay, out of the American Redoubt from the Idaho Statesman, Lewiston, Idaho is reporting that the governor got a pay raise this year, but he still earns less than half of what some Idaho public university presidents take home. So I guess that makes it all right. The Lewiston Tribune reports that the state government, the state gave Governor Butch Otter a 4% salary increase in the current fiscal year. He now makes about $115,300, up from $110,700 during last fiscal year. So in a comparison, Boise State University president, this is a university president, Bob Custra, and the University of Idaho president, Dwayne Nellis, each earn about $335,000 a year. So if you are the governor of the state, that's worth $115,000 a year. But if you are the president of a university, that's worth $335,000 a year. And of course, that's taxpayers' dollars. So, let's see. Well, I don't want to just hammer on Idaho. What else we got here? Oh, yeah. Those of you living in Montana, sit up and pay attention. Tim Baldwin over at News with Views. Of course, those of you who don't know, that's Chuck Baldwin's son. He is an attorney. Candidate for Montana attorney. This is his story. Candidate for Montana Attorney General Jim Shockley. Remember the name, Jim Shockley. He stated that while sitting in his official capacity as Montana senator, that the original and true meaning of state sovereignty as expressed in the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution was changed and ridded, that means gotten rid of, by the Civil War. So according to this candidate that's running for the Attorney General, those of you in Montana, Jim Shockley is saying that the 10th Amendment of the Constitution is no longer valid because it went away after the Civil War. Pay attention to who's running for your different positions for public office. These people are trying to become your leaders. Some of these people are trying to take us down the same path as what we're trying to get away from. All the socialism, communism, and globalism, collectivism that is swallowing the rest of the country, we're trying to protect the American Redoubt from. So you need to stay active. You need to know who these up-and-coming leaders are. You also need to be able to identify American Redoubt leaders, people that are going to stand for Americanism. And when you come across that stuff, you let us know. Send in an email so we can pass it along to others. Because for most people, this information just goes to the side. They're not even aware of it. Anyway, when we come back from the break, we are going to start talking about prepper communications. So stay right there. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Redoubt Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Redoubt connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Redoubt is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves redoubters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Redoubt Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Redoubt in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. The road is lined with yellow stones. Again, the road is lined with yellow stones. Rufus has three tails. Rufus has three tails. End of message.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In the midst of a major catastrophic event, such as a man-made or natural disaster, the ability to communicate can make the difference between life and death. Experience shows that oftentimes during disasters, conventional communications such as landlines and cell phone systems become overloaded and unreliable at best. More often, they become completely disrupted altogether and commonly for prolonged periods of time. Our nation's electronic communications infrastructure is second to none in leading technology, but the strength of that infrastructure is its weakness. It is very complex and therefore fragile and vulnerable to a number of different causes for disruption. Radio Free Readout is developing what we call CH3, or the Channel 3 Project. It is a standardized way for you to communicate with other people. So, in the event of an actual emergency, simply turn on any handheld personal communication radio, such as your CB radio, FRS, or GMRS radio, such as the typical Motorola Talkabout, MERS radio, etc., and switch it to Channel 3. It's that simple. This standardization will increase the probability of you reaching somebody who may likely be monitoring the channel 3 on any one of those types of radios. It also increases the likelihood of you making contact with someone of like mind, which could make you safer. Of course, when making radio contact with someone you don't know, always proceed with caution. Learn more about the CH3 Project by clicking the CH3 tab at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com.
Welcome back from the break. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You're listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. And we are going to start talking about prepper communications. Now, speaking of prepper, I mean, talking about preparedness, there was an article that just came out on AdvancedSurvivalGuide.com. And this article is titled the most important preparedness skills, or the three most important preparedness skills. Not preparedness things like food, water, shelter. What are the top three skills? And that was really tough for me to do because just like the other bloggers and contributors, you know, if you only have three skills, you're probably not going to fare very well in a Teotwaki situation. And so I had to narrow down, and of course I have to admit that I, when I did it, I kind of anticipated what some of the other writers might talk about, some of the typical top tier preparedness topics. And so what I did was I came up with some that I thought that would be really important, and I posted that over there on Radio Free Readout earlier this week. And then, of course, I provided a link, and I want to encourage you to go over there and check out AdvancedSurvivalGuide.com's article in full, because that has all of the other bloggers and other contributors' responses. And, you know, there's some pretty good insight there and some things to think about. And so... So check those out when you get a chance. One of the things that I listed was communications as far as one of the top three skills. And the reason why is because that's kind of the niche that I've fallen into. I consider myself a prepper for several years. And, you know, I had a shortwave radio and I had, you know, the FRS radios and a CB. I have a scanner, but, you know, I've never really been, you know, over the top into communication stuff until recently. And I start realizing how important it is. You know, when Teotwaki happens, and of course, Teotwaki, that's the acronym for our new listeners, that stands for the end of the world as we know it, Teotwaki. And that could be anything from an EMT to a hurricane to societal collapse and the collapse of our economy, you know, what a social unrest. If you're preparing, it's so difficult to survive if you're by yourself. But it's so hard to find other people that are like-minded. So one of the best ways that you can do that to ensure your or increase your chances of coming out the other side intact is to plan ahead of time to start networking with other like-minded people, which I know a lot of you are already doing. But this is I had an epiphany this week. I was talking to a guy with he had a certain background. He'd been some places, been around the world a couple times, and seen some things. And he said to me, he said, just remember this one saying. He said, think to a finish. And I wasn't really sure what he meant, just like all of you are sitting there staring probably at your computer and going, what does he mean? Think to a finish. He said that was a saying that was over the top of a door at the Pentagon. And he asked somebody what it meant. And they said, that's exactly what it means. Think through all the way through to the end, to the finish. Finalize it. Now, I know right now it seems like with the stuff that the Pentagon's involved in, some people have not thought through to the finish. But those words are pretty powerful. I mean, you really need to let that sink in. See, because we're all planning for Teotihuacan, the end of the world as we know it. We're planning for the disaster. And I've said this before. What about after? You better think it all the way through. When you're planning for Teotihuacan, think to a finish. Because what's going to happen afterwards? What happens if our country collapses? What happens if it all comes down? You better think to a finish. You better think about what that rebuilding process is going to look like. Because in terms of patriots, thinking to a finish is what separates a prepper from a redoubter. Because I know sometimes it's hard to kind of define that. Well, I'm a prepper. What's the difference between a prepper and a redoubter? A redoubter is just a prepper that decided to move to one of the redoubt states. Well, that's just part of it. Because you need to think past the disaster, think past Teotihuacan, because as long as your heart's still beating, the sun's going to come up the next day, and time is still going to pass. What's it going to look like? What does your future look like after Teotihuacan? This collapse that all of you are convinced is imminent. Then what? Ask yourself that. Think to a finish. Now, in order for there to be a rebuilding process after Teotihuacan, you're not going to be able to do that if you can't communicate with other people. It takes networking to rebuild a new economy, to start a barter system, to start whatever it is, just like in Patriots, the book Patriots, where they started up in the town with the new little kind of a swap meet. Cash was out the window, but people were trading in silver and 22 shells and whatever else. One second after, I mean, all of these books that, you know, cover this, the Book of Eli, getting your iPod recharged, if it's still functional, that might cost you something. Like a little package of baby wipes. But more than that, what's our society going to look like? You have to be able to communicate. So let's talk about communicating. Pre-Teotihuacan communications. Right now is when you can communicate. You can communicate by email. Our email's radiofreeredoubt@yahoo.com. The other way is through the network. This is how you know what other redoubters are around you. At least those that have stepped up and joined the network. And this is one way for people to start communicating. We've already had this happen. Several times where somebody looks on the American Redoubt roster, they sign up, they say, hey, I'm a redoubter. They add in their information. Another person signs up and says, hey, I noticed there's a guy that's 7 miles away in the next little town. You know, can you put me in touch with him? Because all the information on there, of course, is confidential for OPSEC reasons. So what we do is we email that individual and say, hey, you know, Zulu06 wants to make contact with you. Here's his profile information, and here's his email. If you're interested, then now the ball's in your court. And then we have two different readouters that are linking up with each other for mutual support, for communications, and so on. So the network, that's pre-Teotihuacan communications. The other way is the American Readout Network Forum. When you do sign on and say, I'm a readouter, and you can do that by clicking on the American Readout Network and AMRON page, and look at the instructions there, and you fill out the information for your profile, and it's all confidential. None of your personal information is made public. And then we process you, and your name goes up on that roster. And then you also have access to our forum. And this is where readouters are able to exchange information for communications and for relocating and local gun shows going on, local flea markets, whatever. They're starting to build that network. And that's what it's all about. Now, pre-Teotihuacan communications also consists of the radio. Right now, what you guys are listening to is an online podcast over the internet, because the internet is operating right now. Now, there's a lot of you. Now, on that note, several of you have asked, do you guys broadcast on shortwave? No, we do not. This is strictly an internet podcast at this time. We are working on projects to be able to broadcast Radio Free Readout after a Teotihuacan event so we can stay on the air and continue keeping you informed and connected. But right now, that is a goal that we are working toward. So, no, we do not have a shortwave radio broadcast at this time. But some of you are broadcasting on what's called LPFM and LPAM. That's low power FM and low power AM radios. And so many of you that are out there listening right now, not many of you, there are a few of you listening right now on your AM radio or your FM radio. And you're tuned into that because someone is rebroadcasting right now Radio Free Readout. If you're listening on Sunday evening on January 15th. So we have some low power. And if you're interested in rebroadcasting Radio Free Readout on your own little broadcast station on low power AM or low power FM, you can contact us to get more information on that. If the information that we've uploaded to the Highlights and Resources page doesn't answer your questions, but that's another way for you to be able to broadcast Radio Free Readout. So those fall under what's called Part 15 of the FCC. And that is a part of the regulations that allows you to broadcast on the regular frequencies, just like you listen to in your car on AM or FM, but only in low power. Now, there are some higher power transmitters out there, but just be forewarned, they're not legal to use. But if you find yourself in a Teotihuacan situation where the rules kind of go out the window and you need to broadcast out to the masses, then that's something for you to consider. You can get some of these higher power units on eBay. Part of pre-Teotihuacan preparation is getting organized. What I recommend is that you start a binder, which is what I did. And in that binder, a three-ring binder, I started printing out the frequency sets for different networks. In other words, AMRON, the AMRON network. I printed those frequencies out. I printed out the American Preparedness Radio Net frequencies. And, of course, those are also available to you on the Highlights and Resources page for today's show. Print those out, put them in your binder, get them in hard copy so that you can reference those. And there are several resources also that I've posted there for you to be able to locate your local area repeaters for your ham operators. Especially like your 2 meter repeaters, because those ham operators that are operating on 2 meter, they're in your local area. They're going to be using those repeaters. You want to know what those frequencies are. You want to get your American Readout Network roster with all the names and locations, call signs also put in there. So when you're talking to another redoubter, you have call signs for other redoubters that are part of the network, in that binder as well. Also, look up your scanner frequencies for those agencies, businesses, and emergency services that are in your area, and program those into your scanner now. And then print those frequencies out and put those in your binder. Okay, also, you want to add your shortwave radio frequencies. Also, program those in, but print them out, get them in your binder. Print out the, go back to December 2nd on the blog. We posted the standard amateur radio prepper communications plan, which is also a link in the highlights and resources page. And you'll be able to listen with a shortwave radio or a ham receiver. You'll be able to listen to communications from other preppers, not part of AMRON, not part of the American Redoubt, but nonetheless, they are other preppers who have put together a network. Now, here's the deal on that, though. These are ham operators. So they don't tie the ham operators and the non-ham operators together. That's what AMRON is for. I'm not aware of another program that ties ham operators and non-ham operators together. And of course, I put those frequencies to that standardized amateur preparation, prepper communication plan in our highlights and resources page. So you just copy and paste those right into a Word document and get those into your binder. But what we did was, in the AMRON plan, we set it up so that ham operators that are volunteers for the AMRON project will act also as relays to communicate to those of you that are on CBs, FRS radios, MERS, what have you. It's another reason for you to join the network and state what type of communication you're going to be using. So a ham operator in your general area, knowing that there's redoubters out there listening to, say, FRS, for example, he's going to try to rebroadcast pertinent, relevant information for keeping you connected, keeping the American Redoubt organized and safe. If there's information about radiation levels, then we're counting on those AMRON operators spreading the word and getting that out there. And normally, ham operators can spread that information across to each other very efficiently. But if you're not a ham operator, you're out of the loop a lot of times. And that's what this does. This ties the ham operators and non-ham operators together. If you have a shortwave radio or a scanner, and then some other type of communication that you can broadcast out on, like FRS or a CB, then what you can do is volunteer as a relay, like several of you have already done. So you can listen to ham traffic without even being a ham operator on your shortwave radio. You hear some information that other people need to know, then they can broadcast that out to other redoubters in their area using their communications. You might have a high power CB that's able to rebroadcast that out across to everyone in your area, especially if you know that by looking at the American Redoubt Network roster, you know there's other redoubters in your area that are listening for information on their CB. Something that we're working on right now is a public frequency for the American Redoubt Network, so that we can just publicly broadcast that. You don't have to join the network. You don't have to have anything like that. This is a what we call a set net. And this is a simulated emergency test or practice net. And so that way you'll have a net that redoubters, whether you're part of the network or not, can use on a regular basis as a practice net. And that'll also be the net that we'll use for simulated emergency tests that would like to do to test out our communications plan later on this spring. We'll have more information on that. That's forthcoming. One of the questions that I get pretty commonly from people is, what do I buy? I mean, I've never really been into communications, but I understand the need for it. So what should I get? And I'm going to talk about that when we come back, because that's a valid question. And I have my thoughts on that. I want to share those thoughts with you right after the break. So stay right there. You're listening to Radio Free Readout.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate. We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt with you again, still, and thanks for being with us. One thing I want to mention before, since we're talking about pre-Teotihuacan, or I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between pre- and post-Teotihuacan, but for pre-Teotihuacan, there is something that I wanted to mention, and that is on secure communications. Now, first of all, there is the PGP, or the encrypted email communications, that I think that preppers should be taking advantage of, especially in today's day and age when there's a lot of hackers and snoopers out there. And you can keep the communication between you and another person encrypted. But remember that encryption is only as good as its weakest link. And usually that is the user on one end or the other. As the communication is going, you know, across the internet and it's encrypted, it is virtually impossible to break some of the PGP stuff that's out there and available. One of those resources we put out there is at a website called howtovanish.com, and go and check that out. I know several of you that I communicate with, we use encrypted the PGP software, and of course we're not talking about anything too secret squirrel, but you know, if somebody wants to pass along their personal phone number or something like that, that you don't want to be out there, have out there on the internet, then that is a good way to keep that secure. The other one is called the one-time pad, and this can be used for secure communications between parties. And there's more information on there on the blog for you to look up and study that. That is slower and it's more cumbersome, but it is one of the only communication types that is known to be made secure and unbreakable. And that's the one-time pad. What has to happen, though, is that you each have to have the key. And really, there's no way for you to design a key and two different parties have it without you handing it off to one another, you could probably send it through PGP over an email, but then it's on your computer and it could potentially be retrieved. So there's different things to consider there, but something for you to look into. And I know that several of you are also very aware of the one-time pad and the efficiency, it's not real efficient, but it is super, super secure if it's done right. Now, what to buy? This is probably one of the most common questions that I get. And that's a really tough one to answer because everyone's on different levels of skill or willingness to learn a new skill. And, you know, communications can vary from your very simple two-way radio, your FRS radio, which is about as complex as some people want to get, all the way up to getting full-blown involved in ham radio. And so that really depends on you. But my typical answer is to the new prepper or someone who's just considering communications is kind of a three-step plan. And of course, with all prepper advice that I give when people ask, I always say to get the very best equipment that you can afford and then upgrade when you can. And that's especially so with communications, because you can spend $30 on a cheap CB or a handheld FRS, or you can spend into the tens of thousands of dollars easily on two-way communications. But step one, get something that that provides two-way communications. And, you know, I recommend, of course, getting something starting out that falls within that CH3 project, something that falls within the parameters of being able to use CH3 in that project, like the FRS or the CB or the MERS. Now, let's talk about those real quick. Now, the FRS, that's the family radio service. Now, for all of these three, the FRS, CB, and MERS, you do not need a license to operate these, okay? But the family radio service is probably one that I would recommend first for a few reasons. First of all, it's the most common out there. If you're in distress and you need help, you need to hail some assistance, you're most likely going to reach somebody on an FRS radio because they're so common. Because they're so common, you're also most likely going to be able to communicate with other redoubters. And the two-way communications allows you to have communications even if you can't hear any other redoubters. If you have to caravan and you're in a vehicle and your wife's in a vehicle and you're bugging out to your safe area in a Teotihuacan situation, it allows you to be able to communicate with each other. Now, the FRS radios are also coming out with a lot better quality radios that can transmit a lot longer ranges. But those can be deceiving. When you see these radios that say 23 miles, 35 miles, that's not usually the case. When you see a radio that boasts of being able to broadcast 35 miles, that is absolute best case scenarios, no atmospheric conditions to interfere with, no adverse weather, no snowstorms, no rainstorms. That's you on a hilltop talking to someone else on a hilltop about 33 miles away with absolutely nothing between you on a beautiful sunny day. Now, those radios, you drop down into the trees, and immediately your transmitting range drops down to just a couple of miles. And in some instances, it with a lot of hills or tall buildings and structures, you can be down to just a mile or less with some radios. So take that into consideration. But vehicle-to-vehicle communications, communicating with somebody a few miles away, another person that's in your survival group, retreat network, these are great communications. Now, also, those have privacy codes, but I just kind of wanted to kind of warn you on that. The privacy codes are not really privacy codes. And privacy codes are also known as sub-channels. Okay, so this is how it works. If you are on channel 3, subchannel 0, you can hear everyone else who's broadcasting on channel 3, regardless of what their privacy code or subchannel is set to. But if you are on channel 3, subchannel 10, that means you can only hear other people who also have their subchannel set on 10 on channel 3. Does that make sense? Okay, so you can be heard by others, but you just can't hear anyone else. So something to keep in mind. Now, the other two-way communication I would recommend is a CB. CB radios can be handheld or mobile. I recommend a mobile because You can always put it in your house, hook it up to your battery, to a car battery, and operate it inside your house if you have to. But they generally broadcast or transmit at a higher power, so you can get better range. But with CBs, it's all about the antenna. You have to have a good quality antenna. And you can learn more about that by clicking on some of the links and, you know, educating yourself about antennas and different capabilities. Now, when it comes to a CB, I also strongly recommend that you get one with single sideband capability. Now, you can broadcast just on regular AM and talk to anybody on any other CB, but the SSB or single sideband allows you to broadcast, I keep saying broadcast, allows you to transmit a lot farther. So if you have a CB and you're talking to somebody 6-7 miles away, and that's about as far as you can reach with that radio, you use single sideband, you can talk to somebody 20, 30, 50 miles away if the atmospheric conditions are right. And you can actually talk to somebody from several hundred miles away in certain conditions, but those are usually anomalies. So get one with single sideband. So when you are talking to other redoubters, then you know that you can use the single sideband to talk to someone a lot further away, especially if you look on the American Redoubt roster and you know that someone who's 25 miles away is also on a CB with single sideband. You can try to hail them on that channel 3 frequency. The other one is MERS. Now, MERS radios, that's the multi-use radio system, does not require a license technically, but they really perform, I would give them a moderate performance rating. They're about your mid category FRS level of quality. But what's nice about the MERS is that they have security capabilities. There are motion sensors that will transmit a voice alert up to 2 or 3 miles line of sight, give or take, depending on who you talk to and what review that you read. But you can set up, of course, security motion sensors around up to 4 different zones, and they'll detect any motion they detect. It will transmit that to your radio. And then, of course, with 2 of those radios, you have 2-way communications you can talk to other people on as well. So they're versatile in that way. Now, there are some other radios that are coming online right now that apparently have texting capabilities, and they have channel hopping features. So it's hard to pinpoint them because they always skip around frequencies, and they're supposed to be able to link up with each other. When you have 2 different radios, you program those to channel hop together. So you can talk to someone else on those, and it's theoretically seamless communications for you. But anyone else monitoring your channel, they're going to catch little skips and blurbs, and they're not going to be able to monitor your communications. And that's in theory. If you read the reviews on those, they are not performing how people are hoping they would. So for that reason, I don't recommend those yet, not until that technology kind of catches up. Okay, so the first step is 2-way communications. The second step is get some type of communications that you can monitor on. And that's either a shortwave radio, that's going to allow you to pick up information transmissions from a long ways away. That's long range receiving. And then there's the scanners. You choose. Now, ideal, it's nice to have both. Scanners allow you to listen to communications that are local. That's your UHF and VHF, stuff coming from from the local repeaters. You can listen to 2-meter ham on it. You can listen to 72-centimeter ham on a scanner. You can listen to all your fire and police and everything else on that. And that's local. Okay. And then, of course, your shortwave radio is going to let you listen to a radio broadcast from around the world, as well as if you haven't bought a shortwave radio yet, make sure you buy one with single sideband capabilities. Otherwise, you will not be able to hear ham radio operators that are transmitting. And that's critical, because if you are trying to gather information from people that who are intent on getting information to preppers, if you don't have single sideband on your shortwave radio, you're not going to be able to hear them. And they're trying to get information that could be critical to you. And the single sideband is the only way you're going to be able to do that. So, first one, two-way radios. Start there. Then get something you can monitor with, either locally with a scanner or long-range communication monitoring with a shortwave radio. And third would be a ham radio. And more and more people are getting into ham radio. Preppers are getting their ham radio licenses, and they are learning how to use them and becoming proficient. You have to key in on that last part. You have to become proficient. Now, I have a friend that talked me into getting going ham, and he bought me a book. And he bought himself the book, Now You're Talking. It's put out by the ARRL. It's a study guide for getting your technician license. He dragged his feet forever, and I finally approached him about it. And he says, you know, I don't want to invest that much time and energy and stuff into it. He says, Teotihuacan happens, then I'll set up the radio, and then I'll get all set up, and then I'll always be able to learn it, after the fact. But which really struck me as odd, because that's not normally how this guy thinks. But in this case, when it comes to ham radio, when it comes to any of these communications, you've got to practice with it. With any of your preparations, you have to practice with it. If you got a wheat grinder, you better be practicing with it. If you have a ham radio, you better be practicing with it. A shortwave radio, scanner, whatever it is. You need to become familiar with that, because you don't need to be dealing with the stress of Teotihuacan and trying to learn a new skill that you should have already learned. Now, if you don't have your ham license yet, maybe you don't want to get your ham license for a number of different reasons, or you plan on getting it next summer, but you want to buy a radio now, you can buy a 2-meter radio, hook the thing up, and start listening. Start getting the lingo down. Start becoming familiar with the equipment. You can't transmit on it, but you can definitely start listening on it and familiarize yourself and experiment with your different antennas. So in an emergency situation, you don't have to have a license to operate a ham radio in an emergency situation. Did you know that? Okay, it's true. All right. But I also want to encourage those of you who are so inclined to work toward getting your ham license and practicing with it. If it's just 2-meter, that's local area communications. And then you can expand. You can get into long-range communications and HF, high frequency. That's your shortwave. And start talking to ham operators across the American readout, across the country, and even around the world. So, good stuff. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And so, stick around. You're listening to Radio Free Readout. We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
If you are a real estate relocation specialist and would like to be added as a resource at Radio Free Readout, then contact us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com and type relocation specialist in the subject line. We'd especially like to hear from you if you specialize in relocating businesses into your community. Don't forget to check out the videos page, found by clicking on the videos tab on the blog. You'll find useful and informative videos about our American heritage, as well as issues of today. Also, if you feel led, please financially support the organizations and ministries that produce the video so they can continue keeping us informed.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. State sovereignty is back in the news, and many people agree that we need to recover the lost art of freedom. But how do we do that? Many ideas have been thrown out there, but one of the best that I heard over the summer is what I and 15 other state legislators from other states throughout the West call the 5 steps to freedom. I'd like to share those with you today. First, state legislators must nullify unconstitutional legislation. For instance, nationalized health care, or cap and trade are not specific enumerated powers of the federal government and Congress. Therefore, state legislators can nullify such laws. The idea comes from Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, who first introduced it because they believed it was a natural right of the states in the checks and balances process. Step 2. We need to erect an impenetrable wall around the Second Amendment. That takes several forms. First, an extension of the castle doctrine. Wherever I stand, that's my castle. Number 2, oath-keeping. Sheriffs need to uphold their oaths to the Constitution of the United States and the several states. And number 3, a sheriff-first piece of legislation which allows sheriffs the process by which they can arrest and detain federal agents acting beyond their scope of authority. Number 3, we need to restore sound money. And what does that mean? We need to return to a gold and silver standard. Number 4, we need to secure our borders by making the state verify citizenship before issuing a driver's license, a business license, or any other formal source of state recognition. And number 5, wherever any of this legislation fails, the people need to introduce that by way of initiative. State sovereignty is the path back to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Readout. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Readout. We are talking about communications. This is a primer. This is an introduction. Okay, nothing fancy, nothing over the top. I just want to introduce you to some of the communications, give you just a little bit of guidance, kind of that nudge coming out the gate so you can start moving down the track toward your goal. That communication device that I was talking about before, that's called TriSquare. It's XRS 900 megahertz two-way text-capable radio with channel hopping capabilities. That was the name of it, and I'm going to put it on the highlights and resources page, and that's the TriSquare XRS. You can check it out for yourself. With all of this stuff that I'm talking about, you'll notice that on the highlights and resources posting for today's show, January 15th, episode 12.2, there are a lot of Amazon links to a lot of different products. Now, these are products that I've spent time, you know, last probably the 6 months researching and reviewing, reading the reviews. I put those up there not so you can run and buy that one that I have linked up there, but they're just the results of some of the research that I've done based on some of the reviews that I've read and information that I've gleaned from talking to people. And so I put that on there for your own research. You have to do your own research. But this is a good starting point. And what I really like about Amazon is that you can click on a product and you can look at the rating 1 through 5 stars, and you can read all the reviews on that product, whether you're buying a meat slicer or a two-way radio. And listen to what other people have said about it. And trust the other people's reviews. I will say one thing, though. As far as scanners or shortwave receivers, I recommend that you get one that is capable of receiving a coax for an external antenna. You can buy the little antenna for $10 that clips on the top of the, you know, the telescoping antenna that comes with most all radios. And that makes a huge difference. You can receive transmissions from people that you wouldn't be able to hear otherwise without using that. But the satellite 750, that has a port in it for you to be able to hook up an external antenna. and you get an antenna outside and do your homework on antennas, and you'll see also recommendations on Amazon for people who bought this radio also bought XYZ, and a lot of people that do their own homework, they know what different equipment and accessories will go with a certain radio, for example. And so that can be helpful. You'll also notice that I put a lot of information in the form of links for you to be able to go to and read up more on each of these different modes of communication for two-way communication, single sideband, ham radio, shortwave radio listening, scanner radio listening. And if all of this seems overwhelming, then that's fine. Just pick one. Get yourself some FRS radios or get yourself a single sideband CB, one for you, one for your wife's vehicle. Maybe the other people in your church group, your prepper group, your retreat group, your whatever network that you're involved in, and everyone agree. Let's go with CBs with single sideband, or let's all go with FRS. Whatever it is, pick one, and then find something that you can receive information on, either a scanner or a shortwave radio. Just pick one, and then learn all you can about it. And then pre-program the frequencies and the network frequencies into that piece of radio equipment. So after Teotihuacan, at the push of a button, you can go right back to your channel presets. And if you want to listen to a certain individual or a certain network, you can go right to that. Okay, we're going to close this down tonight. One other resource that I meant to just remind you on, we usually put this up every week, and that's proxify.com. When you're surfing the internet, going around, I just posted this because that's what I use a lot is Proxify. We don't get kickbacks or paid or anything like that from these folks, but it's free to use. You can upgrade and pay, and there's additional features. But if you just want the basic service of just being able to go to a website and have your IP address remain anonymous, you can go to proxify.com. You can click on that. And I just want to encourage you to go to the Amron and American Readout Network page there on the blog, read through that, join the network so you can let other readouters know that you're near them. You can see that other readouters are near you and start networking now. Start getting your communications in order because there's some difficult times coming to this country. There's no question about it. This is a nation, and of course, you all know if you've been listening for a while that I am an unapologetic Christian. I believe that this nation was founded by the blessing of God. And I think it was blessed because the men who started this country did it in a God-honoring way, and they were God-fearing men. But I also know that historically and biblically, when God's people turn their backs on Him, there is judgment. And I fear you read the headlines and you can see our country not even turning away. They're running away from God now. And so I want you to just keep that in mind. There's a scripture that I came across in my one of my devotionals this week. And it's from Ezekiel 33:29. And it says, "Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate, because of all their abominations which they have committed." And he was talking about the people of Israel turning away from him. And he was talking about his judgment against his people, because that's what he had to do to bring them to their knees, to get them to turn back to him, so he could bless them again. Something to keep in mind. So, those of you who are moving to the American Readout, I want to encourage you to continue with your plans, and I just want you to remember that whatever decisions you make and whatever actions you take, that you do it prayerfully. And I believe that time is getting short. I believe that what's coming is inevitable. And I believe, like most all of you, that we are headed for a collapse. And some people believe that we are headed for an economic collapse. Some say a societal collapse. Some say a collapse of our government. And some people believe that all those things could very well happen at once. And I don't want to see that happen. But it appears it may be happening regardless of what I want or what you want. So we just want to urge you to continue to prepare. You have a blessed week. I just hope that the Lord blesses all that you set your hand to. And we look forward to being with you next week, where we're going to be talking about the EMP threat, the potentials of that, and even some safeguards against it. Because we've been talking about communications tonight. A lot of that is technical equipment. That technical equipment may not work in the event of an EMP unless you take certain action and certain preventative measures. And we'll talk about that as well. So be with us then. Join us next week, episode 12-3. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.